This is Get Lit with Literature, and this is Monk. This week I'm announcing the start of my Substack page, website, writings, whatever it's called. I don't know, it's a place to post writings, and it's become popular with all the big tech crackdowns and suppression of free speech in the land of so-called democracy and elsewhere, where people say something that goes against the narrative, they can be shut down or squelched, or if you're Julian Assange, you could be thrown in prison and tortured. So Substack offers a place where, as far as I know, there's no such squelching. No such squelching, and I have followed a bunch of writers for many months now. Actually, I normally don't subscribe to much of anything, but I subscribe to their posts so that when they write something new, I get an email, and then I can read their posts. So you can do that. You can do that from my page as well, and it's free. And there also is people can subscribe to pay. You know, some writers actually earn money or maybe earn a living doing that. I'm not sure yet if I'm gonna try to figure out how to do the pay thing, see how that goes. But anyway, it's mostly, that's not the main reason I'm doing it. I'm looking to get to put the words out there, which is what writers do. And so, call the site Musings from Between the Lines. Irreverently irreverent. Essays, poems, and more, navigating the pathways of daily life and the long-range journeying. Musings from Between the Lines aims to assist readers with finding a deeper place of consciousness with an ability to transcend dualisms, have a greater sense of life purpose, and a caring for all sentient beings and the journeying, which has, no matter what your personal path, only one path, Earth. So that's part of my introduction, and you can read the rest of the introduction. Years ago, someone described my writings as irreverently reverent, and I couldn't be more concise, so I like that. And that's also an example of the non-dualistic thinking. Irreverently reverent. How can that be? Well, I like to take jabs at certain things. I'll make fun of religious practices or this or that, and it comes across often as irreverent, but it's actually a reverence for life, for what is sacred, and for all, in a holistic way, for all manner of beings, from the altar in your spiritual room that you may have, to the little bits that get under the toenail that you have to take a clipper and scrape them out. It's all holy good, as they say, and some of it just feels so much better. So there's that, and I also posted my first post, which is an essay called Religion of Technology, Little Techno Savior Moments. When my computer was down for like almost 5 days, I had a nice experience, actually, and got some insights. And it was challenging, but not that challenging, but I wrote about that in that essay. When I looked it up, it says people check their cell phones every 3 to 12 minutes. So there's obviously some form of addiction or fixation going on. And I interpret that as kind of like we're looking for that savior, something to make us feel good. And I got a like, and so now everything's all right. And I watched a song or video, or I read an article that says what I always say. So somebody agreed with me, so now everything's all right. And we're like constantly looking to save ourselves. But save ourselves from what? Save ourselves from the rest of the world, from actually relating with people, from maybe talking to the trees, or just watching the river, or whatever it is out in the natural world. So that's that article is about. And part of the Substack thing is that community. It's like oftentimes there's a network of writers. Each person lists who they recommend on that they are also reading. So that's why I'm gonna toot some other horns, because some of these people also gave me the fact that they did the already doing the Substack gave me the confidence and the urge to go for it. Some of my top picks, a writer friend up in BC, Canada, so-called Canada, Noick Gray. He was interviewed on the podcast not long ago. His site is New World Dreaming, and the links of these are all at my Substack page. Also interviewed and a friend, Stephen Newcomb with the Domination Chronicles, talking about the doctrine of so-called Christian discovery and dehumanization and how the domination system is embedded in so many things. I've reviewed his book, The Psychology of Totalitarianism, Matthias Desmet. He does not post that frequently, but he's very thoughtful, and I respect what he does. And that's another thing. Sometimes people post consistently. They say they have, like, you know, 100 or 1,000, or some people have like 20, 30,000 subscribers. So that's a lot, and whatever. And another ally, friend, Max Wilbert, who is co-founder of the Protect Thacker Pass activities, whatever they're called. His is Biocentric with Max Wilbert. And he's also a co-author of Bright Green Lies, another book that I have reviewed and written about. And a recent discovery, because I have hardly read novels at all for like 25-something years. She's a Turkish writer living in Britain, Elif Shafak. And her, if I pronounce that right, her Unmapped Storylands. And she's very total love of books and the words and stories. And she's like a true literati if you're a writer and you want to explore that or just get some neat ideas. She's got some wonderful posts as well. And she's also a fine speaker. I've watched some of her videos. She speaks. One of the things that she said is that there's a kind of emotional numbness in the world that needs to be dealt with. And I concur with that, you know, we just get numb sometimes in the amount of atrocities in the news and stuff and the information overload. So it's important to tune in to have some sensitivity training or whatever you call it. I'll mention a few more Substack pages I did not get to. A woman named Renette Senum, S-E-N-U-M. R-E-I-N-E-T-T-E-S-E-N-U-M. She has some very interesting stuff. Peter DiRico has a book which I have not read, but the title is quite fascinating. It's called Federal Anti-Indian Law, showing how the U.S. legal system, what would be called Indian law, is actually against the Indians or Native peoples. Another Substack I've learned of now, Martin Shaw. He's big into mythology, an Irish storyteller. It's called The House of Beasts and Vines. And then there's C.J. Hopkins, a writer living in Germany who's very satirical. And he's one of those writers that I think he's got like 20,000 subscribers. So there's those, and there's more. I may be leaving somebody out, but nothing personal. There are so many things. So I don't know. This is how I've written for 23 years or so, is by not planning to write. So I don't have a particular schedule. If you do subscribe, I don't have a particular schedule. Over the years, it tends to be either a poem or an essay about every 2 weeks. But like I said, that's been how the muses work with me, and I made a choice many years ago that the art of life is more important than my personal art of writing, even though it's very important and just deeply integrated into my life. But first and foremost is the art of living and the devotion to and responsibilities of the spiritual holistic path, which is a Kabbalah rooted pathway and requires various amounts of discipline and et cetera, and ceremonial practice and on and on. But that's why I don't try to write, in essence. I let, as some writers do, I let let the writing ideas come to me, which is why the site is called Musings from Between the Lines, because the ideas just, I let them filter in. And it doesn't mean I don't think about or plan. If I'm working on a particular project, I will think about it basically 24/7. It'll be in the back of my mind like a Zen koan, what's going on and how to improve it and what research and any other ideas coming in. So it's not to say that I just, you know, skip around and, oh, now I'm going to write a poem. It is a lot of hard work, and a lot of editing goes into it. I will, like a blacksmith, when I get a piece on the slab or whatever it is, I will fire it and pound it all day until it's ready, or all week, or if it's a longer book, it'll take years. So it's an ongoing process, and I like to think of it as a conversation and part of the daily flow. So a lot of the writings are about whatever day-to-day stuff, as well as staying in touch with the timeless truths such as earth and water and wind and fire, the four basic elements that make up everything and who we are as beings. They are in us as well. So that kind of thing is a balance of the in the flow, sort of like the beat poets. They brought the everyday, talking about the everyday experience into the literary world in a casual way, not in a fanciful way. So I like to think of my writings in that sense, sort of like that, and a combination of, I don't want to compare it, but some kind of deeply spiritual guidebook or something, but I don't mean that in a kind of pompous way, just that tends to be my view of things, that there is an undertruthing spirituality behind every physical thing, and that the unseen worlds are guiding us. So I could go on and on, but that's what the writing is for. So you can check out more at the Substack page, and the link is in the email. And another part of that is that I like etymology a lot. So the word to rule, as I put in the essay in the introduction, the word to rule, the root of that is to move or direct in a straight line. This is the very aim of empires, to keep you in line and rule over you. So that's much of my sort of what I would call geopolitical topical essays and such like are about the supremacist control freaks and the institutions which foster dependency, and their consciousness tends to deliberately try to separate us from our being able to receive direct information and guidance, which every person has the ability to. You just take off your shoes and put your feet with the earth, or go out and look at the night sky and you'll receive some kind of guidance. But that is what the corporate news especially wants to distract you from. So that's a lot of my writings are to encourage that reconnecting, so to speak, or opening up to that level that each individual has. As I end that one essay, those are some of the tactics of the powers that do too much that my writings tend to rail against, while also singing an epic of peace and of the celebrations of everyday common experiences with childlike wonder and the vigilance of a robin atop her nest. The childlike wonder, I think, is very important for a writer. When I think of a 3 or 5 year old seeing a garden hose for the first time, and the absolute awe with the way the water comes sprays, and if it creates a rainbow effect. And it is that kind of awe that I aim to keep at whatever age, because I think that keeps the writing fresh, and it sees again what we become numb to if we do not realize, like every morning, that the sun is a blazing whatever adjectives, incredibly alive, whatever it is, that a being that is prompting us to carry on with our days with our feet with the earth. So that kind of intensity, which is so powerful, and yet there's a childlike wonder that keeps it fresh. So that's also one of my guidelines. But anyway, that's the The Introduction to Substack, which you can do it. It's pretty easy. I mean, I got on there and I had to wrangle around with the tech stuff and ask a writer friend a couple of questions. But basically, in a few hours, I was up and running and had a few pieces posted. So it's pretty simple to do. If you do it, feel free to ask me a question. And all right, thanks so much for listening and for reading, and be well.